My name is Allison. I'm 10 years old. Today is March 23rd, 2019, and I'm speaking with Regunda, who is my mom. We are recording this interview in Maple Valley, Washington. Tell me a favorite memory of me.
Of you? Oh my gosh. A favorite one. There's a lot of them. Can you pause it while I think of something?
I can.
Okay. I think one of my favorite memories would be your pre-K graduation from daycare. I remember you going up to the front of the class and reading the book to the audience. It was called The Night Before Kindergarten.
Why did they pick me to read it?
Because you were really good at reading, and I guess they hadn't really had anybody do that before.
I thought they had one kid read a book to the class every graduation.
Mm-mm, that was unusual for them to do that.
Wait, it was?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, next question.
Tell me about a teacher or other adult that had a big impact on your life while you were growing up.
Oh boy. Pause that again. Okay, one thing that I can think of a teacher, someone who's had a big impact on my life, how it turned out, is when I was in college, my senior year, I had a professor that gave me an opportunity to continue into graduate school as one of her graduate students, and she had a virtual reality lab where I learned how to do computer programming and working with computer graphics, and that's where I found out how much fun it was and what I liked to do, and it kind of led to the job that I have now, which is similar along the same lines. When I was in college, I didn't really know what I wanted to be when I graduated. But, so I studied the subjects what I was good at, and in my senior year, I didn't know what kind of a job I wanted to do or where I wanted to work, but one of my professors in one of my classes gave me the opportunity to work under her as a graduate student, and so I did that, and she was in the virtual reality lab, and that's where I discovered computer graphics programming, which I really liked, and that's what I do in my job today.
What's a graduate student?
So the first 4 years of college is an undergraduate. So once you get that, then if you continue in college after that, it's graduate school.
So as a graduate student, do you have to work under someone, or can you still, is it still the same as undergraduate?
No, it's a little bit different. So I guess an undergraduate in college, you go to a different teacher in a different class for each subject. But in graduate school...
So it's like you have a schedule. You go to, zoology to biology?
Well, yeah, but in graduate school, you still do some of that, but you work under a professor as a graduate student, and so they kind of guide you through what classes to take and what you need to do. But at the same time... Okay, so in graduate school, you have an advisor that kind of coordinates your learning activities or what classes you take. But on top of that, they also have you support their research project and teach classes. And then as kind of a capstone project for your graduate degree, you have to do something called a thesis, which is a research project that you do, and then you write this book about what you studied and the outcome.
So basically, in graduate school, you're an assistant teacher?
You can be. I did that.
And at the end, you just write a book?
Based on research that you did under the guidance of that advisor.
How long does the book have to be?
Mine's about like this. We've got a copy of it somewhere.
How many pages does it have to be?
I don't know. I have no idea, but I think we're getting off track here. What's the next question?
How has your life been different than how you imagined it would be when you were young?
Wow, that's a tough one. I had no idea what my life would be like when I was young. I remember being like 10 years old and thinking about what life would be like at 30. I had no idea what it would be, but I do remember thinking, wow, 30 is really old.
But it is. But it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
But I didn't really have any idea of what I wanted to do, what kind of career I wanted. I really did not know. All I know is that I was really good at math and science, and it would probably have something to do with that. But I wasn't one of those kids that knew what they wanted to do from a really young age.
So you weren't one of the kids that, like, at, like, 7, I guess, is like, I'm going to be a zookeeper.
Exactly.
And I know I'm going to grow up exactly to be a zookeeper. Is there anything you want to ask me that you've never asked me before?
Ask you?
Yes. A mini interview.
Ask you anything I wanted to ask?
A mini interview inside an interview.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a mini interview inside an interview.
Okay, let's flip this around. What do you think you want to be when you grow up?
I don't know.
You sound just like me at this age.
I don't know.
Where do you think you might want to live? Do you want to live overseas or somewhere here in the U.S.?
I don't want to go live in Mongolia or something. I want to live in the U.S.
Okay. Do you have any idea what you might like to do for career? What kind of subject area it might involve?
No, not really.
I remember when you were younger, you used to say that you might want to be a vet.
Yeah.
You still think that?
Does it include math?
I don't know.
So
probably some amount of it.
So, yes.
Okay. Next question.
So, probably like something like working with animals, maybe? Because I like animals. And we've been interrupted by one twice.
You mean daddy?
Yes.
Okay.
Thinking about your family many generations from now, and knowing that they might hear this recording, is there anything you want to say to them? Any wisdom or advice you'd like to share?
Part that.
Okay.
Okay. One thing that I would say is to always do your best in whatever you do. Work hard to achieve any goals you have, and have fun.
Okay. What was it like growing up in Spokane?
What was it like growing up in Spokane? What was it like in terms of what? What was it like growing up in Spokane? Well, I guess one of my earliest memories growing up in Spokane was kindergarten when Mount St. Helens blew up. I remember all the ash everywhere and having to wear a mask every time we went outside.
I remember you thought it was snow. You told me you thought it was snow and asked why the dog could play outside.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's see. We went to school up to 2 blocks away from our house. What did we do after school? We went to Joy Bell Daycare. After school every day until Gigi picked us up and brought us home.
What's Joy Bell Daycare?
It's not there anymore, but you know that overpass,
sorry,
over I-90, that's not too far from Gigi and Gon's house. It was right there.
So it's like an EDP but separate from the school?
Yeah, kind of. Uh-huh. Yep. And then during the summertime, for the most part, we would spend the day at Gon's shop. So we'd be like in the back room or in the basement, just playing around. And then in the daytime, we'd walk to the YWCA and go swimming.
Wait, but what's a YWCA?
It's like a YMCA. So YMCA is Young Men Christian something.
I think it's like Young Men's Christian Association.
Yeah, kind of like that. And the YWCA, I think it's similar, but they had a big swimming pool. And me and Trina would walk over there during the summers.
Oh, yeah. Young Women's Christian Association.
I think so. Yeah, and we go swimming, and then we walk around downtown. We go to the downtown Spokane Library and check out some books to read. What else did we do? We did volleyball in the evening with big brothers and sisters. Dom was that big brother. Let me think. In grade school, I played violin in orchestra. I played flute in the band. And also during the summers, some of the funnest things we did was we spent a week at Grandma and Granddad's house in Dela, just like you go to Camino once in a while. So we go to Dela. And then we do Camp Spoilerlocking. That's part of Campfire Camp.
What's Dela?
That's the name of the town that my granddad and grandma lived in, Gigi's parents. That's where they live.
Was it fun being pushed over in a boat in Camp Spoilerlocking?
No, not really. And it's a lot harder to get back in than you would imagine. It's very hard. So we did that. That's kind of like Camp Seymour. And then we'd also go for a week of something called CAST. That stands for Creative Arts in Summertime. We do 1 week of that. That was at the local high school. So it's kind of like summer camp that you would go to. But you get to pick what subjects you want to do. So they had things like art and music that you could pick from. That was fun. And then, let's see here. As we got older, we didn't have to go to daycare anymore. So we got to stay home. I did volleyball in junior high.
What was junior high?
7th and 8th grade. We played a lot of video games back then. They had things like video arcades, kind of like what we thought the Living Computer Museum.
I remember at the time you told me that you beat the world high score in.
Well, I got a really high score. So that's a Nintendo game. It's called Tetris. I used to play that a lot, and I got really good at it. And one time I just happened to get a really high score on it at one point. And then there was some game magazine that I looked at. My score was higher than what was in there. But anyways, we played a lot of video games when we were kids. We had an Atari system when we were first grade, I think. And Nintendo came along later, about 5th grade or so. We also had computers back then. My first computer was a TRS-80. And it had a tape deck. Like a cassette tape. It didn't have a floppy disk. It had a cassette tape on it. And
one
we used
question.
To play a game called Haunted House on it.
What is both a floppy disk and a cassette tape?
Wow. I guess I would have to find a couple of them to show you what they are. So a cassette tape has a magnetic tape in it that's on a couple of wheels on the inside. They're about this big. And when you play it, it spools the tape through some kind of a magnetic reader head to read the data on the tape. And then a floppy disk, there's a 5 1/4 size and a 3 1/2 inch size. So when I was in like first, second, third grade, they had the larger ones, and then as I got older, they had the smaller ones. That's what they used before they had thumb drives.
So, but was it floppy?
Yeah. Well, the 5 1/4 inch ones were. Yeah. I think they're talking about the actual material inside of it that the data is on, not necessarily the case that's over it.
So, you couldn't flop it?
You wouldn't want to because you'd mess up the data that's on it.
So, if you did flop it, it would mess up the data.
And you know what kind of computer would use for 5 1/4 is this that I'm talking about?
What?
The Apple IIe.
What?
That you got to use last week.
That?
Mm-hmm.
Was it like the telecommunicator thing that didn't work?
What?
You know, the computer where you could type on one.
Oh, that's another thing about growing up. They didn't have captions back then, so I could never understand TV up until I was in 6th grade, Christmas of 6th grade. That's when I got a caption machine for Christmas. I had to finally watch TV for the first time of my life and understand what was going on.
So, basically for you, for like 12 years, TV was just silent and it didn't make any sense?
Yeah. Yeah. And I couldn't talk on the phone either. So, it was a long time. How old was I? I must have been in high school. I finally got my first PTY, and I couldn't talk on the phone before that.
Oh.
Was that recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
What was it like not being able to hear? What was it like at home? What was it like at school?
It's very isolating. You never know what's going on around you. It's hard to get in on conversation with other people because you don't know what they're talking about.
And, like, was it hard to learn in school?
Yes, it was. I couldn't understand the teachers at all.
So, how did you learn anything?
Read books.
But what if, like, you didn't understand something?
Now, those are the subjects I tended not to do as well in. The ones that didn't have everything in the books were the ones I did not do as well in.
It's like, put two and two together. No textbook, you don't do well in.
What else was it like growing up? I rode my bike a lot around the neighborhood, around the block. I did that a lot. We had the go-kart that we drove in the backyard. We had a tetherball in the backyard.
Tetherball's fun.
And a merry-go-round.
Didn't you, like, almost cut off your
yes,
thumb?
Yes, I did.
Merry-go-round.
We did Bloom Day every year, starting in high school. That's what you've done, too. We did it way back then. In high school, let me think. I was still in orchestra in the high school. Played the violin.
Wait, but how do you know if you hit the wrong note? Because you
didn't. I always have to tape. So most people, when they start learning to play the violin, they put tapes on the board where the fingers go. But as they get better at it, they learn to do it by sound. They know where to put the fingers. But
you're screwed.
So I always have to tape on it so I could see where to put my fingers. I did it by sight, not by sound.
Because there was no way for you to do it by sound.
Mhm. What else? I don't know. Do you have any questions about it that I could answer? We didn't have smartphones back then. Those didn't exist.
Like, so, like, how did your parents discover that you were deaf?
You would have to ask them. I don't know exactly, but I remember hearing one story where Gigi and Gom stood behind me and Trenna. They called Trenna's name, and she turned around. They called my name, and I didn't respond.
So they already suspected you were deaf, so they did a little test.
They may have. You'll have to ask them.
Because if you couldn't hear them call your name, you wouldn't turn around.
Yeah. Oh, I guess that's what's next.
Wait, was there ever a time you showed empathy?
Pause. I would think that, yeah, there have been times that you felt empathy for other people. It's like when something bad happens, and a lot of times you just don't know what to say or what to do. So I guess you just kind of be there to listen to them. Just kind of be a sounding board. I don't have any specific examples. I do remember the day that a friend of mine was moving out of a dorm in college. And she found out that day that she wasn't going to graduate because one of her classes, she didn't pass. Yeah, so she was really upset. So I just remember talking to her and just kind of like listening to her. I didn't know what the right thing to do or say was, just be there and listen.
In your opinion, how hard is it to ask or give forgiveness?
How hard is it to ask for good forgiveness?
Why do you think that?
Wow. I guess that would depend on the situation. How hard it is to ask or to give forgiveness. That would depend on the situation, I would think. I mean, if it's an everyday thing, like, I don't know.
Someone stole your pencil?
Yeah, something like that. That's easy. You know, I don't think that's hard at all to say sorry. I stole the pencil. Or, like, if I mess something up, which I do every once in a while, say sorry, you know, I didn't mean to do this or I didn't mean to do that. A lot of times, like, Evan gets upset with something. If I mess something up, I'm like, I didn't mean to do that. Sorry, you feel that way. I mean, those are fairly easy, but there are some things that are just really hard.
like, what if, like, somebody completely screwed up the coding for a 777X?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, things at work I would find, it would be, I wouldn't think it would be that hard, I don't think. And just everyday stuff, I don't think it's that hard for most things.
When you were growing up, were you ever bullied by a peer?
Well, you could say that, because that's what I'm here. I would occasionally have people come up to me and ask me if I was retarded. I can think of three people in particular in grade school, and no, one was in high school. They would come up behind me and say, "Can you hear me? Can you hear me?"
Well, duh, no.
Right, but that's kind of, I don't know what they would call that. They would call that, I don't know, it's just not a nice thing to do. So I don't know if I would call that bullying or not, but it's not a nice thing to do.
Like, did people ever, like, treat you differently because you're disabled?
Aside from those very few people, I would say no, for the most part.
Actually, I think a lot of people don't even notice, because you speak so well, and most of the time you can understand them.
Yeah. I had 10 years of speech therapy to do that.
And I remember you saying, a lot of people place your deaf accent as, like, a kind of
English-ish
accent.
As being from somewhere else,
like they
not
couldn't,
as a deaf accent.
Like, they couldn't put their finger on it, like, English ish, but
yeah, but I don't think anybody that I can think of off the top of my head has made fun or bullied because of the speech or the accent or anything.
Next question. Was there a time when you had a friend you found hard to forgive? Autocorrect.
Hard to forget. I can't think of something off of the top of my head. Okay, you can pause it. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. However, hard to forgive. Yeah, I think part of it is I didn't have a whole lot of friends when I was growing up, because it's hard to socialize with other people when you can't hear what's going on around you. I had a handful of close friends and stuff, you know, like you've met Lulu, right? But yeah, for the most part, I kept to myself, so I didn't really run into a lot of these tricky situations with other people.
One more question. Yeah. Who was very kind to you as a kid?
The few friends that I had. Luda and Tara, the few friends that, and Shannon, if she was another one.
Shannon?
Yeah, she lived in the trailer park across the street from DJ and Dom's. And she was in my grade at my school, but she moved away in sixth grade. Very kind to her as a kid. I had, one teacher I could think of, particularly, who kind of watched out for me, put a little more effort than usual. Into helping me in the classroom, see if I missed anything. So that would be my fifth and sixth grade teacher.
So he'd, like, ask you if you missed anything from the lesson?
Yeah, I mean, there's a handful of teachers that really kind of stand out.
Like, if you missed the definition of math or something?
Or they just check in with me, just come and ask me how I'm doing, if there's anything that I missed, you know, if I need to help with anything. There were some teachers that went out of their way, you know, see if I needed any help with anything. Okay.
What was an important event that changed your life?
I would say losing my hearing was a pretty big one. I think that had a bigger impact on my life than anything else.
Fair enough.
Oh, having you and Evan. Those are two really big ones, too. Yeah. Yeah. In a positive way. The death thing was not a positive one, but having you and Evan was very positive.
What about, like, when you got your cochlear implant?
That, too, yeah.
Like, you could finally almost hear normally.
Well,
almost.
It's a
big improvement over the way it was before. I feel a lot more than I ever have that I can recall. But
you
I'm also aware
confident.
That I'm still missing things. You know, I still can't talk on the phone. I still generally need to be looking at the person that's talking to understand them. But I do find that it takes a lot less effort because I don't have to rely as much on the breathing as I did before. So yes, that is a big life-changing positive impact on my life.
And you can hear confidence now.
Yeah.
Has a stranger done a nice thing for you? What?
Has a stranger done a nice thing for you? Hi. Stranger does a nice thing for you. I kind of generally try to avoid interacting with strangers, but there was a time that we were in a foreign country and they not very many people speak English over there, and I remember trying to talk to this person at the metro station to get a subway ticket, and we were having a really hard time because we didn't speak the local language and she didn't speak English. So there was a stranger that overheard what was going on. I saw that we were having trouble communicating, and he knew both languages, so he came over and helped with the conversation, and that worked a lot better than, like, using Google Translate on your phone, you know? I mean, you could do that, but it's better just to have, you know, a human do the translation.
I remember you said that, you also tried to use Google Translate in, like, the fun museum. Where it's like the maze and then all the confetti hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah.
And like you were trying to figure out how to get inside one of the rooms.
Right.
And the lady didn't speak English, but a guy behind her did offer to translate.
Yeah, it's nice when people step in that know both languages to help with the conversation. What's next?
If there was one thing you could do over in your life, what would you do?
That's a tough one. Pause. I can't really think of anything off the top of my head that I would want to do over. I mean, sure, there are things that didn't really work out that well or didn't go as planned, but I don't know if I would change it because it's all part of who you are and part of your journey in life. And that's what makes life interesting. I mean, if everything worked perfectly, if everything went well, then nothing ever went wrong, then you don't appreciate the things that worked out as well if you don't have things that go wrong from time to time, right?
Yeah. And it, like, also changes who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if everything, like, literally everything goes well for you, you might turn out as, like, kind of bragging. But, like, and also, if there's no bad things, there's no good things to separate from the bad.
Okay, next one.
What's your greatest accomplishment?
Oh, geez. Greatest accomplishment? I'm hoping you and Evan will be. That's probably the best job I've got and one of the ones that I hope turn out really, really well.
Hope.
Yeah. Yeah, if you two turn out to be well-rounded, happy adults, I would consider that a pretty good accomplishment.
That's a question repeat. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's what I can repeat.
When have you lied to protect someone's feelings?
When have you lied to protect someone's feelings? I don't think that's something I do very often, if at all. I can't think of anything. Protect someone's feelings? I don't know. Lying to protect someone's feelings. I'm not sure I've really done that on a big scale, but I'm sure I've probably done that from time to time with a white lie. You know, those little ones that are meant to be harmless, that you just don't want to, I don't know.
Like, oh, I practiced violin for 15 minutes last night, but you actually practiced 10. Like, stuff like that.
Yeah, I can't think of anything in a specific example, but I'm sure I probably have when it comes to that. Yeah, quite nice varieties, probably. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that one.
Can you tell me something that might surprise me?
Wow.
Last question.
Wow. You mean something about you or something about the project? Something that might surprise you? Well, that kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier tonight. Is that recording?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know how Dad's been looking at the computer about getting pet peacocks and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And I told you this story about how when we were in college, the house that we lived in had 4 peacocks. They were usually outside, but somehow they got in the house at one point, and we were trying to get them out because they were pretty stubborn. They were hanging around quite a bit. So I laid out some popcorn kernels for them to follow a trail to get out of the house. But I think while I was doing that, Dad said it's my dog, but anyway, a dog ran up there and spooked one of the peacocks. And they saw the peacock tried to fly, get away from the dog. And there was a window up there, and it thought it could just fly through the window to get out of the house. But it crashed into the window and fell to the floor and died.
But whose dog was it?
Patrick, I think. I don't remember. It was a long time ago. It was probably Patrick's.
We're done. Actually, hold on.
Why does your dad and see what you get out of him?
Do you want to, like, conclude it? How do you want to conclude it?
I'm done.
I think that was a pretty great ending.
Well, we told it to you tonight, so we may as well have it on there.
So, it could be like, that was all my questions. I think you ended on a great note.
Yeah, on an otherwise crappy interview.
That was all my questions, and, otherwise, I think you ended it on a pretty funny note.